Warriors, we serve a God who is sovereign over all, and I want to ask you just to be present right now. Why? Because his word is God breathed, it's living and active, and God wants to know you through a personal relationship. We're blessed to have our speaker here this morning. He travels as an evangelist all across the world. He is also the pastor at Aliento de Vida Church in Lyons, Kansas, also the owner of Dumont Printing. Warriors, would you please help me welcome our chapel speaker this morning, Pastor Oscar Gomez.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I was visiting a friend of mine in North Carolina this week and preaching a revival in his church. And he's been there for a couple years. Young kid, new in ministry. And we talk a lot about issues in the church and problem with congregations and things like that. And he thinks that I know something about it. Which I don't. I rely on some other people. You know, there is a chain. You ask people, and people ask you about things. But I told him, he said, what do you think should I do to be successful here in this church? And I say, love the congregation and serve them. So you just do those two things, and then you'll be fine. Well, you know, they think I'm a young kid and I don't have too much experience. And I say, just love them and serve them. Amen. That's what Jesus did. And that's what we must do. We just love people and serve people. So I appreciate Brother Carrillo because I know he loved the Lord. He loved people and he served people. And you guys are blessed having a chaplain as the one that you guys have. Don't look at him because he look young and just kind of funny and all this stuff. He's a good kid, amen, so, and he has a good vision. So, the theme is unity, that's what Brother Carrillo say, and he's using John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples and that you have love one for another. Let us pray. Father, we ask you that you will bless us today, as you always do, and I ask you that you will erase me completely and do not allow my own ideas, my own thinking, but have your Holy Spirit have your way here and be our teacher, and may Christ be glorified in everything that we do. For him is the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. They asked the master, they asked the teacher, they asked Jesus on Matthew 22, around verse 35, 37, somewhere around there in Matthew 22, they asked Jesus, what's the greatest? What's the most important thing to do? And when you want to know about something, you should go to the guy that knows the whole thing about it. And I guess Jesus is the one that knows everything of everything. If we want to know something, I'm going to go to Jesus and ask Jesus. If you want to know about biology, well, you go to the guy that has all these PhDs, GEDs, and pedigrees and all that stuff. Because that's the guy that knows. If you want to know about theology, then you go to the theologian. But if you want to know about the subject, what is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest thing in the law? That's what the contest is. They come to Jesus and say, Jesus, what's the greatest thing? What's the most important thing? And I believe with all my heart that they were, since the contest shows us that, you know, it was the Herodians and the Sadducees and the scribes and the Pharisees that were asking to just to trap him and to, you know, see, is this guy really knows what he's talking about? Then I believe they were waiting for an answer like, keep the Sabbath, be careful with the ceremonial, the rituals, the Feast of the Tabernacles, you know, wash your hands before you go to the temple. I mean, they were waiting for an answer that will kind of like affirm their religion, their thing, you know, their holiness. And Jesus came with this answer that I think it blew their mind. And he just pointedly said, well, it's very simple, you know. Just love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And if it will just stay there and just leave the answer there, they will probably come back and say, well, you know, We can do that through our religion, to our sacrifices, through our worship, to our rituals, to our ceremonials. I mean, we're the Hebrew people. We're separated. We're chosen before everybody else. The Messiah come from us. I mean, they got all these things to pop themselves about and say, we are the chosen people. So we love him through the way we worship him because of our religion and our rituals and our ceremonials and the way we've been taught by the Torah and by the law. And we got that right. But Jesus didn't stop right there. He say, and by the way, he say, that's the first one. But there is a second one, and he's like it. So he just put it right there on the same level. And it doesn't have to do with him. It does, but it doesn't. But it has to do with people. And he say, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you know that meaning of neighbor was settled on Luke chapter 10 when another religious guy, another interpreter of the law came trying to justify himself. You know your Bible. I don't have to go through the whole thing. And he say, well, you know, who is my neighbor? And he say, well, who is your neighbor anyway? I think your neighbor is anybody that dislikes you and doesn't share your opinions and doesn't walk the way you walk and have different opinions and ideas and choices. And I think your neighbor and my neighbor is that person that is sometimes very hard to love. My wife always say, we must borrow love from Jesus to love some kind of people. And I say, and I believe they borrow a lot of love to love us too. I do. So I think the message that I have here today is very simple. They ask the one that knows everything. I mean, Jesus knows everything because he's the Word. He is the eternal God. He is the one that is standing the platform of nothing and by the power of his word creates everything. So he's Lord the Creator. He is Lord the owner. He owns everything. Bible said that everything was created for him and by him and because of him. He sustains everything. I mean, if we remove the part in the Bible where it says, let there be light, can you imagine that? Just think about that, just little detail. I'm just going to drop that to you. Can you imagine if we remove the part of the Bible where God spoke and say, let there be light? Can you imagine the chain reaction that will start taking place? Because everything developed after that word. Can you imagine if we just remove that? He's the sustainer of everything. Everything is alive because the life of God, because he gave life to everything. So this one that knows everything, that creates everything, that sustains everything, say that love is the most important thing. So what's the issue? What's the problem? And before we get into what James say, I want you to see the example. God just doesn't say things. He does things. Jesus was just not a man talking about things, but doing what he was talking about. The example of God is on John 3:16, and you know. I mean, Romans 5:8 say that he demonstrates his love toward us, that when we were still sinners, he died for us. 1 John chapter 4 say that this is love. This is how God demonstrates. Not that we love him first, that he loved us first. How? He sent his son in propitiation for being what? And atoning for our sins. I mean, love is not just words, it's actions. That's what James say, be doers and not just hearers. But they ask Jesus, what's the most important thing? He say, love. Well, He showed love when he went out of the cross. I've been married with the same woman. I got 7 children. You know the story, 3 grandchildren. I'm 55 years old, and last week, my back locked down. I mean, it was terrifying. I was laying on the floor, and my twins, I got a set of twins. They're 10 years old, precious. That's number 6 and 7. The Lord has blessed me a lot. I literally believe, you know, that fulfill the earth, and I'm doing my part with these seven children. I want to be acted on that, so. But anyway, and Grace and Melody were looking at me at the floor and like, what happened, Dad? And I said, I guess I'm 55. You know, I mean, this thing is just, I don't even know what I said. But anyway, Jesus showed what he said. Jesus wants people that act in love, not just that it speaks about love. And the example is right there on the cross. So the authority that the master has is because he went on the cross. About a month ago, this lady came to my office at the church. I don't have a big office. I just have a little. Our church is very small. And so I have just a little room. And then he came and said, Pastor, I want to talk to you. You know what's going on in my house? And she's having some issues with her teenagers. Teenagers are problematic. And she say, don't you think that really God loves me? I mean, look what's going on in my house. And I say, yes, he does. The Bible say he does. And he showed that to you on the cross. You know, having a perfect life and a perfect home and a perfect marriage, I don't have a perfect marriage. You can ask that to my wife. I'm not going to lie to you. You know? Sometimes she say Coca-Cola and I say Sprite and it's on. I mean, we got it. You know, and sometimes the fight in marriage are like for nothing. You know, I say, Brother Carrillo, he doesn't understand that because he's still in his honeymoon. But anyway, seven children, you know, we're going to have some issues with the children. What about money? What about money? You know, God, you know, life is problematic sometimes in money. And these ladies in my office saying, I don't think God loves me. Look the way my daughters are doing, and I'm a single mother, and they just don't want to help, and they just don't want to clean, and they just don't want to do anything. God doesn't love me. And I say, he does. He does love you. He does love you. And he showed that on the cross. And there is no other proof. There is nothing else he needs to do to show that he loves you. Having you a perfect husband, and I hope you get a perfect husband, which I don't think they exist, but I hope you get a good one, and I hope you get a good wife, and I hope you get some good children, and I hope you graduate and make some money and have a good living and all that stuff. But life will never be perfect, and if you wanna measure the perfection of life, and if God cares for you and love you because of the possessions that you get and the success and all that stuff, you're looking in the wrong way. You need to look back at the cross of Calvary, and you need to see that Jesus really showed us that he loved us right there, taking his life, giving his life for people like you and I. We're not that good. I know nobody say amen, but we're not that good. So what's the problem? What's the issue? Don't we supposed to be the guys that love each other and have the seal of the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, we're not sealed by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't Paul say to the Corinthians and to us that we are a temple, you know, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and that we're supposed to be the people of Lord? Why there is so much fights and quarrels? This is the way James put it on James chapter 4, 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? I mean, why we are supposed to love the way Jesus loved us? Why we are supposed to be expressions of love and ambassadors of love? Why there is so much fights and quarrels and envy and division? And you know why? You know why? There is a big, I think it's the next one. There is a big answer right there. Go ahead, my brother. Put it on the next one. That's the answer right there. That's the problem. We're so egocentric. Is that a word? Man, I'm good, eh? My English is getting better. Hallelujah. Egocentric. Is that the right pronunciation? Kind of. Okay. Brother Carrillo say kind of. You know, he's always stacked like that. It's I, me, and myself. That's the problem. That's the problem. You know, we just think about ourselves. It's my life, my time, my thingy, my role, my purpose, my dreams, my fulfillment, my success. And that's totally anti-biblical. I hope, listen, kids, I hope you got the best life, and I hope you become the best professional, and I hope you become the best on your studies, and I hope God will bless you abundantly on everything that you do, and praise God, those are His plans. I will bless you, and I believe in being blessed. I'm a super blessed man. But this is not about me. It's been never about me and myself and I. That's why Pastor from North Carolina, the one that I was this weekend with, when he asked me about it, how do I manage this church? How do I earn some respect here? How people is going to accept me as a pastor? I say, just love them and serve them. Can you imagine if the husband wake up every day and say, Lord, help me out to love my wife today and serve my wife. Can you imagine if the parents will wake up every day and say, Lord, help me to love my kids and serve my kids. Can you imagine if the kids will wake up and say, Lord, allow me to love my dad and serve my dad. Can you imagine if the students say, how can I serve in this community? Can you imagine if the teachers say, how can I love my students more? How can I serve them more? Can you imagine a church that will have that as a motto? Because that's what Jesus said. Love one another. I mean, we're talking about unity, and that's the theme. And we're talking about all these problems that are in the world. And I believe with all my heart that James just hit the nut right there and say, it comes from all the desires within you. The passion. You're so passionate about yourself. And Jesus, I mean, remember Mark chapter 10? Remember the conversation? You know, these two guys, disciples of Jesus, came and say, hey, G, what do you think about this one? And Jesus say, "Hey," he say, what about when you're in your glory, Johnny right here goes to the left, and moi, I go to the right. What do you think about that one? And Jesus just look at these two fools and say, mama. That's for the word. That's for the Gentiles. The business of the kingdom doesn't work like that. If you want to be the first one, become a servant. If you want to be the greatest, become a slave of all. What is Jesus talking about? He's not talking about I, me, and myself. He's talking about what's the answer? What's the answer for everything? Love. I love the way it says in Spanish. I think Spanish is a very romantic language. Amor. Ooh. I mean, come on. Love. Amor. Like the amor. With the R. Amor. By the way, that's how I call my baby. Amore. She's like. Well, sometimes when we're in the stores, I go like, and she recognized that one, and she just. Don't tell her that I shared that. Tell her that I say amore, okay? What's the problem? Lack of love. We love ourselves too much. And that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. He who wants to be my disciple, deny, carry, and follow. I mean, all those three doesn't have nothing to do with I, me, and myself. Deny doesn't have nothing to do with myself. Carry, that's going to put me on carry something. And he's a cross. And then follow me. It's not follow you. I mean, Matthew 22 on the Rome gospel will read something like, love yourself with all your heart, mind, and soul, and also love yourself as you love yourself. Got it? That's the gospel of the egocentric. That's the problem. Hey, value yourself? Yes. I'm not just somebody. I'm a child of the living God. I'm a son of Jesus Christ. Bible say on John 1:12, those who receive him, those who believe in his name, they are granted the right to be called the sons of the living God. I'm not just a nobody. I'm a child of the kingdom. I was chosen before the foundation of the world. I've been separated by God. I've been equipped by him. I've been blessed by him. He's my protector. He's my everything. I'm not just nobody. I'm a child of God. But my purpose in here in this earth is not to love myself and to fulfill all my dreams. My purpose in here is to give glory to Jesus Christ and to give glory to the grace of God. Paul talked to Ephesians and the Holy Spirit is telling us just for the glory of his grace, for the glory of his name, and how I'm going to glorify the Lord and how I want to be remembered by people is the way that I love them. I don't care about the stuff that my dad bought me. And I grew up in Colombia, South America. My dad was the richest man in town. And I grew up with everything in imagine. My life was amazing. But you know the things that I remember about my dad? Those little things. Just those little things, those little hugs. Just the time when he carried me and said, I love you. Just I didn't remember the big things. I remember the way that he loved me. I was in Mexico. I was doing some really horrible stuff. They were going to kill me, and I have to spend the night under a bridge. And then somehow I managed to get into a house and get a phone call, and I called all the way to Colombia to my dad, and I said, Dad, I'm in trouble. I haven't called the house for like 8 months. They thought that I was dead. And I remember he was there. He did everything that he needs to do to get me back in the state. And I don't have to go to details in my life because it was a very horrible life. But what I want to tell you is that love is the answer. Dodge City, Kansas, on 1990-something, I walk into that little church and that little pastor from Durango, Mexico, was preaching about John 3:16 and say, God love you and he will take you the way you are. Just come. And I don't know what happened, but I remember I went to that altar and I kneeled down and I cried and I asked forgiveness and I asked the Lord to come into my heart, and he did. And man, I'm telling you, I felt the love. And love changed everything in my life. Everything was changed. I hope. I don't preach long. I hope life will treat you well. And I hope you get so many blessings. And I hope you will fulfill all your dreams. But don't you ever forget about what it's all about. It's to love God and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. To conclude this, how do will people recognize? It says right there. Next one. Thank you, bro. What is the video? Okay, no, nobody remembered. By this, everybody will know that you are my disciples because you smell like religion, because you smell like incense, because you know the Torah, because you celebrate the feast, because, no, that doesn't have nothing to do with that. Because you love one another. That's the way people will remember you. That's what matters, because that's what I believe changed my life through the love of Jesus Christ. When I came down, when I didn't have anybody that loved me, when I hurt so many people, when I did some horrible things in my life, that little preacher from Durango, Mexico told me, God love you, my brother. Come to Jesus. And I say, I'm on it. And I did. My life changed. It's not been easy. But I can tell you one thing, with the love of God, everything is possible. And I will do it again and again and again and again. I choose Jesus because he chose me. I love Jesus because he loved me. And I love myself, but I'm not as much as I love Jesus Christ. I take care of myself. I do the things that I need to do for myself, but I learned that it's not about me. If you really want to leave a legacy, if you really want to be counted here and in heaven, learn to love, and especially those that are a little hard to love, because that's what Jesus did with us. Would you please stand with me? Think about that person that is really hard to love. Don't look at the person next to you, okay? Please don't do that. Come on, don't do that. Don't go like this. Boom, because that's the first thing that people do. I'm just talking to you. But think about it. And right there where you are, just say, God, just teach me to love the way you love. Let me love that person the way you love. And you see that it's going to be amazing and great. And that's all we ask from the Lord. We get by grace. We give by grace. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And allowed us to be ambassadors of love. And to experience the power of love because of the way you loved us. But allowed us and help us to express that love and manifest the love the way we love people. That's all we want to do. May your name be glorified this morning. Bless these children, bless the teachers, bless these scholars, bless the vision, bless the children, the families, bless their parents. Just bless this place, Father. We ask for your favor and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God say, give an applause to the Lord that he is worthy of all praise.